It's a little bit after 4 p.m. here on KDNK, and you're tuned to Everything Under the Sun, our little half-hour news show with me, Will, the editor of the Soper Sun. In the studio with me today, Lacey Dunlavey, the Carbondale librarian. And Eric Brendlinger of Carbondale Parks and Rec Department.
Yes.
So, and you need to point that mic towards you, Eric. I don't think anyone will be able to hear you.
There we go.
Okay,
go.
Excellent. We are here to talk kind of our, not our top story. We got plenty going on in town. There's plenty in the paper. But we're here to talk today specifically about Potato Day, which is Carbondale's oldest celebration, about to be 109 years old. I don't know for sure if that includes the couple of years that got taken off during the World Wars or not, but certainly more than a century of celebration with Potato Day, and we're kind of switching things up. There's been a sorority that's been running it for a while here, and they're fried. I think we Eric's got a list of puns here, so keep an ear out for those. Yes,
I'm going to keep a count.
Okay,
let's we meet got a quota.
Nobody
we can
see your fingers on the air. You might have to
irrelevant.
Make a little bing sound
irrelevant.
Or something. anyway, and so the town has taken over with help from various local organizations, the Soper Sun, Carbondale Library, Mount Soper's Historical Society, which I'm told is soon to be the Carbondale Historical Society, the Carbondale Chamber, among others. So, Eric, you're the point person on this. Tell us how you got involved.
Sure. You know, the Xi Gamma Tau chapter sorority had been putting on this event for many, many, many years. And like you said, you had a great potato pun there. Said they might have been fried with putting it on so long. So they actually came to us and said, you know, would the town be willing to take a look at just managing it and getting some, of course, help with it? Because we have been a part of it for a long time, with the park rental, the parade, and the street closures. So we're already involved in it. So it made kind of sense for us to be the agent to keep this going. And, you know, and since that happened on my watch, I definitely did not want to drop that hot potato.
Nice.
Ding.
Ding,
too. Okay. And it would have been og rotten if we let it, you know, just go away.
Three.
Oh, yes. So this is a call-in show, so we want to see how many people out there can also come up with some potato puns. So definitely call us if you have a potato pun that we've missed here in this process.
963-2976. Or if you have anything else to contribute on Potato Day or the paper in general.
So we realized we couldn't really do it. We didn't have the bandwidth to really pull off this festival, you know, all by ourselves. So we really went out to local nonprofits, community entities, and looked for some help. And so we mashed together our minds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nice, got another one. And came up with a committee that's really doing a lot of the legwork to pull off this year's Potato Day.
I dig it.
Ooh, nice, nice.
Okay. So, by the way, Potato Day, October 6th, still a ways out, correlated with Roaring Fork High School's homecoming, some celebrations there. Why are we talking about this now? What's coming up in the short term?
So, the theme this year was not a half-baked idea. It actually
seven.
Was a twice-baked idea.
I caught that as eight.
Okay. Maybe. Give me that one.
Okay.
Okay. But it's called Taters Take Flight, because 100 years ago, the first airplane landed in Carbondale. And I think the pilot was probably a little lost looking for the Glenwood Airport and ended up in a potato field here in Carbondale, a nice flat potato field to land his plane. And so I guess it created quite a stir in the town. And so that's what we're celebrating. Breeding this year with the theme of Potato Day.
Okay. But in terms of, we got some deadlines coming up, right?
Yes, we do. So we want to make sure everybody in town has some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm. That's and, nine so far.
And we want to let them know that we're looking for sponsors. We have a sponsor deadline on August 31st. Those sponsor forms are available on the Town of Carbondale Recreation website, carbondalerec.com. You can also pick those up at the Mount Soper's Historical Society, at the Recreation Center, at the library, and also at the, where else are they? I think, are they going to be at Silver Sun?
We're not there enough necessarily to be useful that way, but I think the chamber might have
them. Chamber.
And we're just down around the corner from the chamber, so if you can get to us, you can get to them.
And so we're not asking for a lot, we're just asking for your participation in this event. $100 or more of a sponsorship gives you two lunch tickets. So, and your name and business mentioned, you know, of course, during the event. We hope you're not looking for, you know, big sponsorship, you know, value to that, but it's value because you're going to be involved in an incredible 109-year-old festival.
You also have vendor applications due the same time, I believe?
Yes, so vendor applications are also due August 31st. There is a $25 vendor fee associated with that. We're encouraging, you know, quality, environmentally responsible merchandise that is locally grown, processed, or handmade. The booth may be informative or educational in nature.
So. Great. And not food specifically. We don't want to compete with that,
right,
that lunch, which is hopefully going to benefit the Historical Society if there's a profit made off of it.
Right. And unless somebody's a cottage industry, you know, with jams, pickles, that
sure.
type of stuff, honeys. So if they're okay. a cottage industry and would like to sell their wares, then they're invited.
Okay. A little more time before you have to sign up for the parade. Am I correct on that?
Yes. October 1st is our parade deadline. So be thinking about it. Be thinking about how you're going to decorate your float. And it's with the Taters Take Flight theme. We definitely don't want potatoes flying through the air, but you can kind of get very creative with that with your float. And the parade will be at 10:30 on Saturday, you know, October 6th, to start off that whole day. And we'll end up in Soper's Park for the barbecue.
Awesome. Lacey, have you guys figured out what you're... you were talking about your float. What are some of the ideas you were putting out there that you're not going to use that you would be willing to share with
others?
Oh, man.
Well, we were also looking at all the different puns that you could do. I don't know. I mean, we're still putting it together. The Taters Take Flight, flying potatoes is kind of... I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. So, but we're going to be there with bells on.
That's awesome.
Yes, it's happening.
I will look for literal bells and hold you to that. I'm not sure whether the Sun will be doing a float of our own, but I may advocate for it. Although, you know, half the staff will be out there taking pictures of it. So it does make it sometimes difficult to staff up for the parade. Just like it did back in high school. You know, this is a 100-year-old festival. It's heavily associated with the schools. This year, the soccer program will actually kind of get the main event as homecoming. The volleyball, I think, will be playing the same night, but soccer has the perk of being out under the lights, which means they can crown their homecoming royalty, ride around on ATVs around the track, and then they'll be in the parade the next day. Also, you know, whole week of Spirit Week events there with, you know, Powder Puff, and I don't think they do the car smash anymore, but it used to be that you'd get an old car and you'd beat it up with a sledgehammer, which is... quite the event, but I do think they have a bonfire, they have a car rally, so you'll hear from the kids before Potato Day gets going. They'll be getting the town amped up, and then you get to see the royalty in the parade. Usually there's a float from each class in the parade. You can watch as they come in as little freshmen with lots of enthusiasm, and progressively get more jaded, and the seniors might just be a truck with some hay bales in it, and that's the case sometimes, and that's the nature of the beast. But love to see them showing off their stuff and cheering for their classes, even if it makes me feel old when they're, you know, talking about being class of 2022 or something like that. It's a challenge. I'm sure you guys understand. So
yes, we definitely understand that.
Daily basis, yes.
since we don't have Sue here, how about our resident former historian here? What can you tell us kind of about the importance of preserving traditions like this?
Well, I mean, in these valleys, we're lucky that this history is, like Sue said, it's still living history. So we live in areas where you have different, you know, places in town, parks, streets that are named for people that helped build the town or had something important to do with why we are here. A lot of times you can meet their family members. They're still here. That's something really special. You can't find that everywhere. And Potato Day in particular, I've worked other events similar to this over in Eagle too. This was a big deal because it was the one time where you could plan on everybody getting together and seeing everyone that you didn't get together. You didn't just, you know, drive over to somebody's house for the day or whatever. So it was a big deal to get together and represent yourselves as a community. And also an important crop, an important business, livelihood. So it was a celebration, putting the potato crates the potato sacks on the train and marking the end of all of your hard work. I can't imagine seeing pictures of these potato sacks. They look 5 feet tall. How did you move that? You know, they would have left me in the field somewhere whining, you know. It's a big deal. And I think Eric said it at our first meeting, you know, we couldn't possibly let this go to the wayside. It's too important. And it really does matter. So yeah.
Yeah. No, what I really appreciated, Eric, you were there when Dorothea was chatting with me about, you know, she came here and the potatoes were still part of the economy of the town, and kids would get off school to help with the harvest. And, you know, this was even toward the tail end, because to my understanding, the peak was sometime in the 30s that they were just sending trainloads and trainloads of potatoes out of here. And we were outproducing Idaho. I have heard that. I have not managed to confirm that, so don't quote me on it. But that before Idaho really got going, Carbondale was a place that was really putting out potatoes of varying varieties. We had a guy, you know, writing the kind of quintessential book on the potato, living just south of town. And it was our thing. And that, you know, Carbondale was the place that fed the valley. There were all these mining towns. Carbondale didn't really start as a mining town. It started by folks who realized that there was maybe more money to be made off the miners than being a miner, and realized that everybody needed food, and that was its identity. And it became a mining town at one point, you know, thanks to Mid-Continent and the Thompson Creek mines and other things. But that its roots, we can count that as a pun if you want,
yes,
were in the soil in a very literal way. And so Dorothea was talking about how each town really needs that identity. We're really blending together. And that's in some ways a good thing, right? We don't necessarily, we resent it when Aspen doesn't look beyond the roundabout and assumes that everything that matters happens just in its city limits. It's a good thing to explore each other's communities and work together on things, but it's also nice to have an identity that is unique to our community, that that sort of says, and I think she said it, why we're here. Why is this town here? Why is it not someplace else? Why is it not just a neighborhood? Why is there you know, why are there all these buildings on Main Street? And what was their purpose? Why is there a lift in Bonfire? Well, it was potato related. There's lots of evidence left over of our history that we walk past every day and don't necessarily realize is there. And also, it's fun now. I mean, you were talking about it being kind of the last big small town event.
Right, and you know, if you've never been to Potato Day, it's definitely one of those events where you can feel the history too. It's not just you know, on paper. You got that big cowboy cauldron of coffee out there, and the
only time of year I drink coffee.
You know, and
I'm a tea guy the rest of it.
But you know, and you really like, wow, this thing's been around here for a while, and, yeah. And you start to really feel the history, and then some, and you're getting your coffee poured by some old cowboy, you know, that is not an actor, you know, he's the real deal, you know, and it's a pretty neat sensation for our little town to have that opportunity to feel history like that. So.
it's also a lot for us to live up to, right? Because we're trying to put this thing on, and I'm sorry, if you asked the three of us to put that meat in the ground and cook it overnight, we would be at a complete loss. We totally need the old cowboys to make this thing happen.
We've been talking to the old established families here and making sure that they're not going to drop the ball on that one, because we need them. Yeah, we need their knowledge base, the Giannettis, and we're gonna be making sure they're there. We'll get them what they need to be there.
Absolutely. You know, and it's not quite the not quite as cowboy an event as it was at one time, right? Sue likes to talk about some of the un-PC contests that went along with it in terms of like fattest baby and you know, back in the day. And also, you know, it had kind of a county fair air to it in terms of all the competitions and stuff. And even in my lifetime, the New Atlantics would still pull up with a dump truck full of potatoes and sell them off at that point. We don't really have anyone doing that anymore. I think Buddy Black and his clan was the last ones to really grow potatoes in any quantity in the area. But that doesn't mean it should go by the wayside.
Right, and I think we can bring back that county fair feel to it, too. That's kind of our challenge. You know, we're going to bring back some live music to the event that day from 12 to 2:30. We have two bands planned. Cowboy Corral is going to open, and Citizen Twang is going to be playing after them. So that'll be a nice feel to it. We want to also create, you know, kind of a little bit of a carnival atmosphere, some kids games, bounce houses, and things like that. So it'll be a fun place to be also for the whole family.
Cool. Before we went on air, we were talking a little bit that there used to be some other organizations would pitch in for the Bareback Bonanza, the Tater Trot. Say some organization wants to take on something like that. Who do they get in touch with you?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, have them just get in touch with me, and we can talk about how they can be involved in Potato Day, you know, and you know, it's the 109th, and the 110th is going to be bigger and better even than the 109th. So we, you know, we're definitely going to still be looking for additional partners to make this just a long standing event for the next 109 years. Mm.
The event that I guess I have the comparison with, and you're probably familiar with, Lacey, is Strawberry Days, which is very much a group effort, right? The town puts on some aspects, the Kiwanis put on something, the Valley View Hospital Auxiliary, I think they actually just left Pi Day, but maybe Rotary took it on. So there's all these different events that take place around the same time that are coordinated, but you don't have to have one at all on one organization or person, which I think is what we're trying to create here.
Definitely. I think that it'll have a more community feel to it too. Already our Potato Day committee, you know, is people that we see every day on the street, and everybody's getting really excited about it. There's a collective mind there that's going to really keep this tradition alive, and I'm happy about that. You know, to the fact that everybody's, you know, kind of ponying up to, you know, say, yeah, this is important to us.
Mm-hmm. So. Lacey, what's it like to tackle helping organize an event you haven't necessarily experienced?
I've been to Potato Day.
Oh, you have?
Yes,
okay,
I
good.
Have. Yes. I've never worked in Carbondale been able to be a part of it. So I'm really excited about that. I mean, let's just admit it. When you first move to a valley like this and you hear about Potato Day, it's like, okay, I got to go check this out. what's going on here? But it's exactly what you'd expect. It's the very, just like you were saying, it's the definition of community. And I think that's another way that we're honoring the history of it too. I mean, if you go back and you read about the old Potato Days back when, they talk about the people of Carbondale will put on a great Potato Day, a great show this weekend. So it's really cool to be part of that.
So if you guys are thinking forward, how what's the ideal? What do we want to happen? What's the perfect Potato Day if we get it together this week? This year, what does it look like?
I think to have an old timer come up to me who's been to many, many of the Potato Days and say, good job. Other than, hey, how come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? You know, so if we can satisfy a couple of those old timers to say, hey, it felt like it used to, and that would be pretty pretty neat, you know, kudos to what we have, what we're trying to accomplish here. So
that's something worth working toward. Lacey?
I think just looking when we look back, and we'll be able to look at the long list of everyone that pitched in and helped, and what that represents. Again, that doesn't happen everywhere, and it's really special. And this is another opportunity for all of us to come together and work together and put on something really awesome for our town.
I'll add in my own shameless pandering for Roaring Fork High School, because I do think, you know, we've talked about how cool it was when all the businesses would paint their windows, you know, in support of the school in advance of homecoming, and there'd be balloons on the bridge, and you really got a sense that this was a multi-generational, from those old timers to those kids in the school, event. And really the only one I can think of that brings together people that way, except for maybe Our Town One Table, which I don't know. Do you guys all get to go to that?
Yeah. I didn't get my tickets in time. Shame on me.
Next,
I know.
Next year. I expect to see a Carbondale Library table.
All right.
Yeah. But you know, like that's really, there aren't a whole lot of events that are so cross generational, you know, across a lot of our borders. We don't, you know, we have some demographic differences going on there, and not all of the events are geared toward everybody. But this one, I think, really, really is.
I think so too. Yeah, and I hope people come out and really, really feel that too when they're there. You know, that kind of warm, fuzzy, you know, cliche feeling of community. You know, it's an event where that can happen.
Yeah, for sure. Have you guys had a chance to look in the paper at all? Seen any? Yeah. Anything strike you? I'm curious. Did we do a good job? Did it? Is there anything newsy in there?
No, it's good. You know, it shows you that there's a lot going on in our little town.
That's true, for sure. I guess Art on One Table is our cover. Eric, you helped put that on. Tell me how it went.
Yeah, so we had about 111 tables reserved. We think, you know, about eight to 10 people per table. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a mathematician. I'm a recreation guy, right? So we think it's about around 1,000, you know, people came to this event. And this is the first year we went out and just asked people to help us sponsor it too. And they weren't looking for kudos or big, you know, exposure during the event. They just said, yeah, we love this event. We're going to, you know, at least help us pay for all the tables that we rented, you know. Yeah. And so that was accomplished this year.
It was the first year that it was a town official event, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys are just taking on more and more. Okay? Pretty soon.
I know. You'd think that the you know, special event season's over, but no, it's really just ramping up here in this town. There's a lot of creative people in this town, and the events are going to keep coming, and I think it's great.
Well, one thing that is, this is the last rodeo tonight, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one thing to catch if you're planning to catch it. That's coming right up. We got plenty of farmers markets still into September?
Yes, they go through September 27th.
Okay, so we're good on that. Anything else that people ought to catch before it's gone?
Well, Cowboy Ups tomorrow night, okay. So in downtown 4th Street Plaza Park. So, yeah, that's always a great event and celebrates our Western heritage. And there's some authentic cowboys there, too, if you want to see some authentic cowboys.
Speaking of 4th Street Plaza Park, we are, as the Soper Sun, looking into some of the for sale signs that have gone up on numerous plots associated with a narrow sweep of a few LLCs in the last couple days here. And I'm sure Eric is also following that closely, because it will affect the town if some of those plots are sold. Lots of them either leased for recreation or leased for parking. Any immediate concerns? I assume everything that's currently booked you guys are going forward with as planned for now?
Yes, for now, you know, it is starting to taper off as far as our special event season for use of that park. There's one more event in that park, the No Man's Land Film Festival, which will be mid-September.
Celtic Fest, Oktoberfest?
And then Celtic Fest and Oktoberfest, yeah. Yes. Actually, thank you for reminding me. That's our big one. That's our biggest one that we produce. You know, and so that is still on the books and still will happen this year.
Yeah, cool. Well, I don't imagine that a sale would go through much faster than a couple months anyway. But anyway, you're welcome to call in about that. But honestly, we don't know much at this point. That's where things stand. Anything either of you would like to add? Anything going on with either of your organizations that we ought to know about?
The town, I'd love to just give a plug for our Red Hill Trails process that's happening right now. Roaring Fork Outdoor Volunteers has had a five-night, trail work project out there this summer on the newly acquired land that was acquired through Aspen Valley Land Trust Save Red Hill campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a great trail planning, building process to be involved in. We got rained out last Wednesday. So there is one more night if you want to come out and help us finish the hiker trail. So we've been working on the hiking trail on that piece of property. And so we have one more night next Tuesday from 4 till dusk.
Awesome. And
School's back in. So we're just trying to remind all the parents that if you're worried about where your kids are going after early release on Wednesdays, the library is a crazy awesome place to come. We're going to be showing movies. We're going to be doing gaming contests, tournaments, giving away lots of prizes. Just we have your kids can free food. We literally feed meals every Wednesday to anyone under the age of 18. So yeah. Come
awesome.
To the library.
Cool. Lots going on in Carbondale. The calendar looks a little light this week, but that you got to look at those ongoing sections. There's no shortage of programming and interesting activities going on in this town. So we are pretty much out of time. You've been listening to Everything Under the Sun on KDNK, commercial-free since 1983. Underwriting on KDNK is an effective way to market your business. Reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KDNK's reasonable underwriting packages. Email greg at kdnk.org. I'm assuming, I think we're moving right into Valley Voices. Again, I'm Will with Soper Sun. With me, Lacey and Eric. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks.
Have a good one. What did I... That is not... here. That's the wrong dad. That's why. All right. Here's my theme.